Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada, and good day to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show for Thursday, January the 16th. It's episode 157 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. Thanks for joining us today. I am your host, Rod Peterson. He is the co-host, Darren DuPont. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
Yeah, we are a team. We're a team. Picture this. If I'm Sam Malone, he's Woody Boyd.
That Cheers?
Yes, that's Cheers.
Good.
We're digging. We're dusting it off for that one. We are a team. And it is going to be a lot of hockey talk today. We're going to sprinkle in some football talk, too. But the world is still talking about the hockey world is still talking about the firing of Gerard Gallant in Vegas by the Golden Knights. And Gary Lawless is going to join us in moments, like right away from Sin City, to talk about the biggest story in the hockey world. Also coming up on the program today, the voice of the Regina Pats, Phil Andrews, will be joining us from Portland, Oregon, in the middle of their West Coast road trip. A little bit of a dub update there. And one of the Dumbas, Al Dumba, the former pro hockey player, Pats player, coach, and broadcaster, Al Dumba, will be with us here in the bunker as well. Are you ready to go to Vegas right now?
Yeah, I'm ready to go to Vegas. You know, I was on my mind. I was nervous about the test this morning for the team. He threw me with cheers, and I'm glad I got it, because we were talking about Casey and the Sunshine Band.
They didn't know who they were.
Not knowing who they were. I'm like, I probably couldn't pick them out of a lineup personally, but I know their songs.
We moved on from opening up with legendary teams, and then people are like, where's your teams? You guys are doing it every day. You got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So, Gary Lawless, we're going to join him now on the rollout here for Flooring Superstores. There he is. He is on the road with the Golden Knights. Good morning, Gary. I appreciate you coming in today in what's been a wild 24 hours for your hockey club, obviously.
Yeah, I'm in Ottawa here, Rod. The team plays the Senators tonight, and we're about half an hour from the start of the morning skate. Pete DeBoer will take the ice with the team, and he'll lead them through their paces for practice, and then he'll be behind the bench tonight and going forward for the Golden Knights. A pretty unsettling 24 hours, I would suggest, and it's kind of strange because Gerard Gallant was beloved within the organization and by the players, by myself, and I know Pete DeBoer, and I know what kind of character person he is and what a great hockey coach he is, and it's you know, you don't want to slam the door on close the door on the Gerard Gallant era, but you have to move forward with Pete DeBoer and give him the support that he's worthy of and has earned and deserves and needs to run the team. So it's a little bit of a strange morning for sure.
Well, Gary, let's go back literally 24 hours. I can't imagine your phone. It forced you to send out the tweet that this is entirely performance-related. Clearly, everybody in hockey was asking you if it wasn't, right? That's why you sent it out, clearly.
Yeah, and it's a little disappointing the way that tweet has been received. The tweet says that, you know, Gerard Gallant, it's a shame to have to say this because he's so full of so full of respect and humility. But for those asking, this decision was performance-based. That's not an indictment for me on Gerard as a hockey coach. That is support for him as a person and explaining that there was nothing other than, this is nothing other than a hockey decision that management makes. I'm not involved in those decisions by any stretch of the imagination. Your good friend Troy Westwood has struggled to comprehend this. I'm told he's gone off on radio in Winnipeg this morning getting the facts wrong, which is no surprise.
Right. Well, Gary, but I don't worry about that. I mean, it's the second I read it, I knew exactly why you were saying that.
Unless you're intentionally being obtuse, it's quite obvious what was meant by that tweet.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're not bothered by it. I mean, the people that know, know. But furthermore, because Kelly McCrimmon is from here, I've known him since I was 16 years old. People are saying this reeks of Kelly. Kelly's got his hands all over this. I'm not going to ask you what's going on behind this thing, but
Kelly's the general manager of the hockey club. Of course, right. His fingerprints are all over this. That's his job. He addressed the media yesterday, talked about the decision. Like, there's no hiding from any of this. There's nothing behind the curtain here. The general manager and the president of the hockey team decided that they thought, Kelly used the word proactively, that bringing Pete DeBoer in here would be the best course of action for the future of the hockey club. Those are their decisions. That's what they get paid to do. This is Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee. This is their hockey team. They're at the top of the food chain. What they decide and how they decide to do it is that's what they get paid for. They answer to Bill Foley, the owner of the team. And they spoke to Bill prior to the decision, and they had, this was a collaborative decision. It was a consensus decision. It has everything they do here is, might not be popular. It might be right. It might be wrong. We can only speculate to that. Even if the team wins the Stanley Cup under Pete DeBoer, we'll never know if Gerard Gallant could not have turned this around himself. So this is the hockey business. This is the way it goes. And it's a shame that a good man like Gerard Gallant and Mike Kelly, that those two guys lost their jobs yesterday. But we don't make cliches become cliches for a reason. And because they're rooted in truth. And coaches are hired to be fired, as sad as that is.
Right, but you've been in Canada enough to see all the shows, the panelists. What everybody is saying in hockey is, how high are the expectations in Vegas then? Yeah. Right, so how would you answer that?
Well, the expectation is, again, this is nothing that's hidden. The owner has said he wants to win the Stanley Cup, and he wants to win three of them, and he wants to win them quick. Is that what Kelly and George operate under on a daily basis? No. But winning the Stanley Cup is the objective here. This team, if you go back to the expansion draft, this is all the tea leaves are all here to read. They, at the expansion draft, they selected a bunch of players. And in the process of making deals on selecting those players, they stockpiled a ton of draft picks. So the foundation here was to be a draft and develop organization. Well, then they went to the Stanley Cup in year one, and they had a really great draft in year one where they had prospects like Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Eric Brandstrom, Nick Hague. They had a bunch of players that were coveted, and they still are, even to this point, they're still in a surplus position at the draft. So after that first year, the next move they made was they traded Nick Suzuki for Max Pacioretty. At the trade deadline, they traded Eric Brandstrom for Mark Stone. It is very obvious that there was a switch here. They realized they were better than expected after year one, and they abandoned the long-term draft and develop plan and became win now. When you trade for Max Pacioretty and you trade for Mark Stone, that isn't about 5 years down the road. That's about right now. The expectations are that the goal and where this team wants to be is to contend for a Stanley Cup right now.
And my last question for you, Gary, is this. Since Kelly took over as general manager, because it's pretty early on in the team's existence, how has it shifted from what you see? Because George McPhee's still there. I mean, are they working in concert together? Obviously, there's not a struggle. But how have things changed since Kelly became GM?
They haven't, because from day one, I think once George hired Kelly and met Kelly and they started working together, there must have been a switch for George where he was like, okay, this guy is really smart, really connected, really committed, and very extremely hardworking. We're going to be partners. This isn't going to be and that's what it is. I use the expression two-headed monster. And whenever I use it, George says to me, well, we're not monsters, Gary. That's what they are. This is a partnership. They are co-GMs. George is here with the team. Him and Kelly travel with the team. Not all the time. Sometimes one of them will go a different direction to do some scouting or for certain meetings or whatever. But by and large, they both are on the plane together in the GM suite at home and on the road, watching the team together. Their offices are right beside each other in the Golden Knights facility. I see, you know, when you walk through the players' lounge at noon every day when the team's at home, George and Kelly are having lunch beside one another, and often Bill Foley's not too far behind them. This team is in alignment. This organization's in alignment, and these two men make decisions together. It's collaborative.
That's all I wanted to know. That's why we had you on. Anything else, Gary, that you'd like to add?
Well, how come you're the only sports talk show in Canada? Like, I was just on a radio show. Do they not count?
No, I said live. Local Canada's only live morning sports talk show. Were they national? Exactly.
Oh, I was on Vancouver. Oh, you're national. See? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
International, actually. We're very big in Norway. Thanks, Gary.
You're big somewhere, all right. Good to see you, Rod.
Say hi to the Prime Minister. See ya, Gary Lawless in Vegas. And by the way, I said, this is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. And I know Trent's watching the show from Puerto Vallarta right now. Trent Dickin from Flooring Superstore. We're a little off kilter. This was the time that Gary had to come in, so we didn't do what we normally do. I said I was going to tell my Lawless story. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I think you've heard sprinkles of it. Al Dumba, who's sitting on the sponsor's couch, has heard none of it. And the world hasn't heard it at all. Vegas, 2017. That was their Stanley Cup run. 2018, whatever it was, their first year. I'm in Vegas, and I'm there with my wife, staying at the Mirage. And I said to Gary, I'm coming to Vegas. Let's get together if we can. Gary goes, well, we're in the middle of this playoff series with the LA Kings. If the series is still going on, I won't have time. But if it's over, I'll have time. So on the Wednesday morning, whatever it was, April, phone rings. It's Gary. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm laying in bed with my wife. It was 9 in the morning. He says, meet me at the Cosmopolitan in the lobby at 9:30. I said, yep. He goes, I don't have time to go for coffee with you, but you want to hang out with me for the day? You can do that. I'm like, perfect. So I said to Cindy, brushed my teeth, ran my head under the tap. I said, I'm going to meet Lawless. See ya. And she's like, well, when are you going to be back? I said, I have no idea. Have fun. Goodbye. A little glimpse into our life. So, which she's still tight. Slam.
What a sweetheart, though.
Gone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because she's good.
She gets it.
Oh, yeah.
We're a team. So I raced down to the Cosmopolitan. I meet Gary, and this was awesome. They had just swept LA the night before. Can't imagine what time they would have got back to Vegas. 1 a.m. something. And he's up. We go through. We're walking through the Cosmopolitan lobby. We're walking through the casino. And there's pit bosses and dealers and, you know, servers. They're like, hey, Mr. Lawless. Hey, Gary, great win last night. I'm like, wow, you're a big deal, Gary. And he's like, well, I don't know. So we go to a restaurant. He orders bacon and eggs. And I'm not a breakfast guy, you know, so I'm having coffee and Gary's just firing questions at me like, how's Chris Jones? What's up with Chris Jones? You and Jones are buddies, right? What's the word in the CFL? What's happening here? What's happening? Just as he's having breakfast and he's just asking for, and we're just talking. Finishes his breakfast. We go to what would be probably the Colin O'Brien's of Las Vegas. We go to some clothing store and they weren't open yet. So Gary's knocking. He had a suit with him. And this girl comes out to say what she looked like. I didn't look at her face for the first 5 minutes, okay? And she's like, Gary, here's a couple ties for you, Gary. Can you wear them on the TV tonight or the next game? And kisses him on the cheek. And I'm like, this is getting interesting. So then we're walking down the strip. Same thing. People are waving. Parking lot attendants. More dealers. It's Vegas, right? You've been there?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just imagine the scene there. Hey, Gary Lawless. Gary, we love you, Gary. We love the Knights. Bye-bye. Wow. And he's got Knights lapel pins in his pockets. He's handing them out like Santa Claus tosses candy in the Santa Claus parade, right? Everybody. We go into the parkade of the hotel, and the girl that's working there, she gives him a big hug. She's got a Vegas Golden Knights jersey on. She's like, Gary, the Knights have never lost when I wear this jersey. I'm the good luck charm. We love you, Gary. I'm like, this is getting over the top. So we're driving down the Vegas Strip, and he's driving this long stretch Lincoln.
Yep.
And he says, you got a car? You got a car deal? And I'm like, I have a Ford Escape. And he's like, well, that's good. At least you got a car. Let me tell you the story how I got this car. And he tells that story. Then he reaches in the back, and he goes, listen, We got this hat for you. It's from the Golden Knights. It's team issue. It's you see the Stanley Cup on it?
Yeah.
He goes, the boys wanted you to have this. So this is from the Vegas Golden Knights. And so here you know, Gary, because I know he's still watching from Ottawa. I've kept it. It will stay on the desk here. And that was that. And from straight from Vegas, Darren, I flew to Florida to hook up with Luke for the Rider camp. And I'm like, Luke picked me up at the airport. And he's like, I'm telling him the story. He's like, there's no way. You know Luke well enough, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he set this up. He had to pay all these people. I'm like, there's no way, Luke. It was over 100 people. They're like, oh, Gary, we love you. Gary, we love you. And he was just astounded. He's like, he had to have set it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he didn't.
Wow.
That was my day with Gary Lawless in Las Vegas.
He's larger than life.
That's just him.
Yeah.
As some would say, he's the Pope of Chili Town. In Las Vegas. So anyways, we'll be talking hockey throughout the show today. And I want to thank our good friend Gary Lawless for coming on and kind of sorting out as much as he can what's going on in Las Vegas. We'll delve into that. Al Dumbo will join us, our hockey insider. Can you put that? Yeah. Diane West writes in. Is this on Facebook, Clark? She says, I'm a Golden Knights season ticket holder. I loved Coach Gallant, and I'm really sorry to see him leave us. But I will welcome our new coach and continue to cheer for our amazing boys. And I should just wind up the rollout for Flooring Superstores by saying Ray Elgard's Facebook post last night. He eviscerated the Golden Knights. He skewered them, which is saying something. If you know Ray, he was, before even day one, he was on the Golden Knights trail. That this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. This could be the greatest thing, greatest sports franchise ever. Bought his season tickets, goes to all the games, posts selfies from the games. And now he is just rabid at the Golden Knights for not just firing Gerard Gallant, but the way the organization's being run.
Okay.
Okay. And actually, Clark reached out to Ray last night, Harley, and asked if he wanted to come on the show. And Ray's like, he said he's still too ticked off. So yeah. He wants to calm down before he comes on the show to talk about his beloved Golden Knights. So we got lots to get to today. Leanne Horning Wright writes in of the legendary Horning hockey family. Good morning from Vegas. What did the boys say last week? We're very big in Vegas.
We are.
Tell Lawless that. Our analytics show it. We'll be back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. It's time to trade and upgrade at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Thursday morning on The Rod Peterson Show. Thanks for joining us for coffee, Caliber Coffee, and I'm telling you, good coffee makes a difference. What are you brewing today, Dupes?
This is the Sumatra today.
Oh, yeah. So good. So good. Caliber Coffee. Proud sponsors of The Rod Peterson Show as you join us here on Coffee Roll. Sports update, Zach Smith made a major impact on the score sheet at Bell Center. Smith scored twice as the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Canadiens 4-1 in Montreal on Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. Smith came into the contest with just 2 goals in 40 games all year. Jacob Voracek picked the right time to halt a goal drought. Voracek scored in overtime, and the Philadelphia Flyers beat the St. Louis Blues 4-3. Voracek's goal spoiled the Blues' comeback bid and snapped his 10-game scoreless drought dating back to December the 21st. The Raptors nearly let one slip away on the road. Norman Powell scored 23 points, and Toronto held off a furious rally and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 131-121 Wednesday night. Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby each added 21 points for the Raps. And how about this one? LSU has contacted officials from the NCAA about Cleveland Browns receiver Odell Beckham Jr.'s apparent cash payments to Tigers players on the field after the national championship game on Monday night, after the Natty. An LSU athletic spokesman said initial information suggested that Beckham handed out novelty bills, Monopoly money, to players after the top-ranked Tigers defeated Clemson on Monday. However, further investigation showed that Beckham may have given away real money. Well, hello, as if OBJ's walking around with Canadian Tire cash.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's handing out real dough. So anyways, at least it was after the
game. Or he had Canadian money. And they thought it was Monopoly money.
That is your Thursday morning sports update for Ballers. Rec Room Ballers will be hosting the inaugural Rod Peterson Show Super Bowl party February the 2nd. We'll have a massive high-definition TV installed. We'll be giving away prize packages on our show, including Vern's Pizza, to you and three friends. So tune in next week to learn how to win. This guy, Tony, writes in, "Hey, guys, what is your opinion on Silk almond milk for coffee-flavored hazelnut? Tried it? Dairy farmers, support them. Put it in your coffee, not almond milk. Sorry. Yes?
Yeah. No, that's good. I don't have an opinion on that because I don't put anything in my coffee.
What else were you going to say?
I don't put anything in my coffee. I don't even know where I was going to go. A Super Bowl. Yeah. That's where it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can watch the Super Bowl at Ballers if the Titans are in it.
You have to because it's at Ballers and you're
part of the show. Well, I know it's our party and I'll be there anyway. But if it's your team and they've never won, you know what I mean? I feel like I need to be in a safe room by myself, alone in a quiet space. But
well, if you're going to be a waste of time at the Super Bowl, don't come. We'll do it without you. We'd rather have you there.
It won't be a waste of time.
The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question today is, was Gerard Gallant's leash too short? 83% of you on Twitter saying, yes, it was far too short. 66% of you on Facebook are saying that. So the whopping majority saying, yeah, this doesn't make sense. Leave this comment up, please, from Sean. I'll get to it in a minute. We welcome Al Dumba, our hockey analyst, to the bunker today. How you doing, Alba?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you didn't come in wearing a very thick, heavy sweater, even though it's minus 50 outside, because under these lights, it's warm in here, right?
I learned my lesson last time.
Oh, you did. You knew how to dress. Okay.
Good.
So, look, we're here to talk hockey. What do you think about Vegas?
You know what? I talked to a good friend of mine, Robbie Laird, scout, last night. Rob's in town for a few days, and we talked about it. And one of the things that came up is, hey, Vegas has a lot shorter time period right now. They made the trades. They went in, all in, just like Gary Lawless just said. Their window is a lot smaller than it was. It's not like they're preparing to win a Stanley Cup in 5 years. In 5 years, a lot of their players the key guys, are going to be too old to win a Stanley Cup. So they did it for now. Obviously, making the change, they must have liked what they saw in DeBoer to be able to make that change. Hey, it's a big business. Guys want to win Stanley Cups. If it's not going right, there's more going on than we know. There's something going, you know, behind dressing room doors. There's always something going on. We don't know. Was Glenn getting a little too hard on the players? I mean, I know that sounds funny, but in today's day, that could be the fact. And we know that players that are coaches that get too hard on the players sometimes lose the players in today's game. It's not the 1959 Montreal Canadiens or the 1962 Toronto Maple Leafs anymore.
But maybe it's Krim, too. I mean, that window you said is small, right? It's not a big window. And as soon as you feel it slipping, as soon as you feel them losing the room a little bit, you know, most teams would ride that out for the year, maybe into half of next year, and you'll miss the playoffs and hope you can turn it around. But with the window being so small, maybe he says, look, it, we still have a team to do it. I feel it slipping. Let's make this move right now before it's a problem. Because that division is so tight.
It's, you know, they've got a good record, but they're not in the playoffs right now, correct?
Yeah.
So they're right around.
Right
it.
Around. I mean, next week they could be in again. I know it's that tight, but when it's that tight, they're trying to look for an edge to push them over the top because I think they feel they have the players in place. They just have to find something different to get them over.
Well, there's
the top.
A couple things on this that I want to talk about around it. How things change, and they change in a hurry. This is what we were talking about in the break before we came on, or maybe it was before the show, but the feeling in hockey was this. Dave Tippett was going to be the Brendan Shanahan of the Seattle whatevers. Tip was going to bring, because he didn't want to coach anymore, he was going to bring in Kelly McCrimmon as his GM, and then Crim was going to hire whoever he wanted as his head coach, but they were going to trust Kelly knew what he was doing with his coach, which we all know that he would. That was the belief, right, Al? And then that's what I was told, and we have mostly similar sources. And then the belief was that Kelly walked into Bill Foley's office and says, I'm going to Seattle. And Bill Foley said, no, you're not. What's it going to take to keep you?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he gets a big payday. He's made the GM, and away we go. And George McPhee's still there. So that all changed. And then Dave Tippett goes to Edmonton, and I'm going to the Tippetts. What's going on? I heard you didn't want to coach anymore. And Dave's like, well, coaching Edmonton special, coaching McDavid, everybody would want to coach him. Things change.
Yeah.
So that's what I knew about that. And then you, Darren, drew a line to something else with Krim and DeBoer.
Well, yeah. You know, it was brought up that maybe that, you know, Peter DeBoer was, you know, thought of as the next coach in Seattle. And, okay, if Krim was going to be the GM, maybe he'd pick DeBoer to be the coach. And now he's the GM in Vegas, and he wanted DeBoer all along and sees a real opportunity to get him. Now all of a sudden you got your guy. And I think that's so key in sports and in hockey and in any relationship. You want your guys, right, that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, definitely. You want to work with the people that work best together are going to be more successful.
Well, and that's, frankly, Gerard Gallant really isn't necessarily Krim's guy. He's George McPhee's guy. But I think what people forget is Kelly's basically been there maybe since day two. George McPhee was day one, Kelly's day two. So they all are together, which brings me to my next point, Al. We've all been around sports long enough that when a coach is fired, nobody's really popping champagne corks. The dressing room, the whole organization is like, whoa.
Well, right? Usually is. I'm not sure that was the case in Toronto, but definitely.
You know what I mean.
Most of the time, it's not. And the players are going to feel bad right now for their coach. You know, maybe not everybody. You never have the whole team that has your back as a coach.
Right.
Every coach knows that. But it changes throughout the year, and different times you got more guys on your side. So what Gallant had on his side right now, those guys are obviously feeling real bad, pretty guilty, want to go out there and work hard. They're definitely not going to give up because it's also their livelihood. They're the ones that want to win a Stanley Cup more than anything in the world too. So, you know, it's going to be could be a tough goal, but at the same time, normally you see a team come out after a coaching change in the first three or four games, you're going to see them flying pretty high.
And then they come back to earth. I mean, last night, back to one of the things I like about my life, I can actually watch That's Hockey Now in SportsCenter at supper time, which to me is the news. And was it last night they had, was there been seven coach firings in the NHL this year? They had the team's record before the coach firing and the team's record after the coach firing. The Leafs have caught fire. The Flames have basically caught fire. The Devils are potentially worse since they made their coach firing. So it doesn't always work. But it has just been an insane season in hockey, and they're not the only sport. There's been other firings, too, that have caught people really off guard. Now, a couple things. It's not just us sitting around having coffee this morning. Please chime in on the Facebook wall or text us on the Prairie Mobile text line with your questions and comments. We don't need to limit it to hockey, even though Thursdays are usually our hockey show. Prairie Mobile text line is 306-840-8777. That is 840-8777. Put it in your phone, save it, and then write us. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. And I'll get to those in a minute. Sean Dahl in Saskatoon writes in and he says, morning, Rod. I was just curious why you guys don't cover U Sports hockey. You cover SJHL and WHL. Mind you have ties to those leagues. I'm sure the reply will be, Sean, we do the talking, you do the watching. But it could just be you guys don't cover it. Can't cover everything. Well, I'll say this, Sean. All of us worked in the Western Hockey League, so we do have ties. Al and I are both proud members of the Pats alumni. Two, probably 3 to 4 years ago, the SJHL came to me and said, will you help us? And that's what started that. Their social media, the book that I wrote on them, counseling their players. Do I have a very strong relationship with the SJHL? And secondly, go to U Sports games. There's nobody there. So we've said it many times. We will talk about what you folks want us to talk about, frankly. But obviously you can see that Gary Lawless and I go back a real long ways. And Gary and I spent a lot of time together. And Gary says, listen, we'd love to cover more CFL at the TSN level. But when Bob McKenzie sends out a tweet on the NHL, it gets 1,000 likes. I send something out on the CFL, it gets 20. We cover what you guys ask us to. Fair?
No, and that's completely fair. And I know it's chicken and egg, right? I mean, yeah. People would care about it if there was more media coverage, but we want to give coverage to what the fans...
What they want.
What they want. And U Sports hockey, I'll be honest, it's maybe the best hockey in the country outside of the NHL. It really is. Yeah. It's so good.
It's great hockey, but the one thing that affects it is it's so much different. The SJHL comes together as a group of teams that want to promote their league, and they want you to promote the league. They don't ask you to promote the Weber Red Wings or the Notre Dame Islanders. They ask you to promote the whole league. Western Hockey League, the same thing. The only difference in these teams is their management styles and their coaching styles, which is in every league. In university sports, especially in hockey, I'm sure maybe it's all the same. It's an uneven playing field. You got Edmonton, you got Calgary, the big bucks. They go out and do. There's no set of rules to follow. You go out, and if you got more money, you can put money under the table. They say they can't, but they do. And the best players all go to the same team. And year after year after year, you got two teams that are competing for the Western championships, and then same thing down east. So it's kind of an unfair playing field as far as I'm concerned. And I do like university sports hockey. I make it to only two or three games a year, but I support them in every way I can.
Right. And I, again, will give people what they want. I mean, Paul Figler from the Dub Network writes in and he says, more WHL. I've said for years, there's nothing I'd love more than to go on the air for 2 hours every day and talk about junior hockey. But guess what? The numbers would be here. That's just a fact. That's what it is. And secondly, as I said, the SJHL's come out and said, will you help us? So there's that. Look at the rush. They treat us like absolute gold. We go to Saskatoon, they roll out the red carpet. Mm-hmm. I bought season tickets this year for that in the president's section. The rush are giving me more to give away to my friends. That's why Abu's coming on the bus. And Al, next bus, you'll come with us. We got a pack this time. But
perfect.
I don't really hear from the WHL in a lot of ways. I never hear from U Sport.
Yeah.
Where these other leagues are being aggressive.
That's, you look at the rush. And not even about the league. Like, I mean, the Saskatchewan Huskies have a really great hockey program. And we could be talking about them, right? And nationally ranked and all of the rest. But, you know, with the rush, we weren't talking about the rush when they first came to town. Yeah, it was a thing that they were coming and they were a champion and that's cool. And the NLL has some history. But they shoved it down our throats. And the rush did with their marketing. It was everywhere. And they packed a place with 15,000 people. And people were talking about it everywhere. We couldn't ignore it.
No.
And then we got into it. And then all of a sudden, it's become more of a thing that people want to talk about on a daily basis.
So further, go to Saskatoon. And why is Saskatoon keep coming up? It's coming up all the time.
Beautiful facility.
Our numbers are huge up there.
Yeah.
Our sponsorship, over half our sponsors are from Saskatoon. And we love Saskatoon. Well, remember when the Rush came to town? You couldn't turn around without hitting a Rush logo. In the backs of cabs, flags on the top of buildings, telephone poles wrapped in Rush, like everywhere. They market. They get off their ass. And I don't see junior hockey marketing anywhere the way that they used to. You don't see that Blades logo in Saskatoon anywhere. I'm sorry. At least I haven't anytime that I go there. So there's that. I mean, Paul writes in and he says, our numbers aren't too bad, Rod. I'm sure that they're fine. I'm sure that they're absolutely fine, but I just think a lot. Marketing is work, and the Rush puts in the work. Now, furthermore, if you watched the national championship college football game on Monday night, who was there? Randy Moss, Marcus Spears, Booger McFarland, OBJ's there handing out money on the field. These guys go back and support their college. When the Pats ownership was first changed, Al, you were there, what was it, 5 years ago now? For the first few games, I thought I was walking around in a museum. Doug Trapp's there. Barry Trapp's there. you know, Drew Callender's there. Drew's still there. But all the guys, really, that this franchise was built on, they all came out of the woodwork. Jordan McGilvery's there. Mike Sellinger's there. Ryan Thomas is there. Sean Fleming's there. All these Pats greats. I'm like, this is like the Leafs, you know, with history. Now, unfortunately, for whatever reason, it's not quite like that. Memorial Cup was like that. It's dwindled off a little bit. But my thing is, I can't get people to get off their couch and go to junior hockey games. But at the very least, I'm going to go. If that helps, and you never miss, and you're working them, Darren.
Yeah.
Well, you're working them too, Alan. If you're not on the radio, you're there.
Yep.
So all we can do is try to lead by example and hope people come. But wasn't that cool when all the former Pats people were coming out of the woodwork?
It was exciting. And,
it was exciting.
Memorial Cup was great. I felt bad. I was kind of caught because I was so happy that Phil asked me to join him and Jared to do color for the Memorial Cup, so I was torn because I wanted to be down in the alumni area with all the alumni. So I missed a bit, but it was fun trying to do both.
Right, but it just shouldn't. Well, so we're talking about a national championship for college football. Those guys came out of the woodwork. You're talking about the Memorial Cup. They came out of the woodwork, but it's really cool when they're there all the time. And I go to the games to see you guys. That's more why I go.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's not as entertaining as it used to be, but what are you going to do? Stay. When I say that, because the style of the game's changed. That's NHL. That's Major Junior. That's SJ. Doesn't matter. It's just changed. And we've talked about it earlier this week. You're either going to accept that it's changed and still go and enjoy it, or not go at all. And I still want to go. Robin Wildly writes in and says, sounds like the show is moving to Saskatoon. I would have no problem with that. All our sponsors up there, which are our biggest sponsors, are saying, you guys got to spend more time up here. Works for me.
Yeah.
Tony Steffen writes in all caps. Are you yelling, Tony? What are you guys' thoughts on the new arena in Saskatoon? We're all for it. What are the government leaders saying? This is what they've told me. We're 6 to 8 years away from having a brand new arena in Saskatoon. We need the conversation to start now, and you need to be talking about it. That's what they're telling me. So I'm on board with it. Now, I kind of sheepishly say this. I love SaskTel Center. I love it. Is there something I'm missing?
No. The building is getting old, and it's starting to not be the comfortable place that it once was. And I think some of the top, this is the stuff I've heard, like, you know, top music acts and top entertainment acts are starting to maybe consider passing over Saskatoon because there's not all the amenities. I know when it comes to NHL or big events, there's not the press facilities that they're
tiny little press room.
Yeah. Or that they need.
So it's out of date.
So it's out of date. And I mean, being out of town, it's become a little bit of a thing, but the Rush don't have a problem. If you want to go and the concerts don't have a problem, you'll go. So the location isn't as big of a problem for me. I love the idea of it being downtown. I think that's awesome. But that's the story, is they're 10 years away from must need a new arena.
So start the conversation.
So you have to start now to get the funding to get it starting to be built and all that kind of stuff.
Clark's mentioning to take a break, so we will do that, and we'll be back. Janelle writes in from Saskatoon, 100% not on board for a downtown arena in YXE. Well,
how come?
Yeah, tell us why. I'm still of the farm mentality that what you want and what you need are two different things. And I'm not saying that I'm right and everybody else is wrong, but if you can convince, because I don't think they need a new arena in Saskatoon, but if they want one and for these sell me on it. That's all. And also, when I say I love it, that doesn't mean I go to work there every day. Like Taylor Field back in the day, the old place, fans would come in and say, oh, it's great. What do we need a new arena for? A new stadium for? You know? Yeah, well, you're not seeing the toilets running into the offices where the coaches are. You're not seeing the garbage cans that catching the rain that's falling. You're not seeing the rats and livestock that are living in this thing, the wildlife. You're not seeing the piss troughs that are leaking, you know, because you don't see it every day.
Yeah.
I remember, I'm sorry I'm going over here, Clark, but just for today, I will. I remember going to Spokane, Al, and you would remember the Boone Street Barn.
Yeah.
Wonderful arena, home of the Chiefs. It was an old theater.
The boards used to rock back and forth when somebody hit it. They just thought they were going to go right over.
Any hit in the Boone Street Barn in Spokane was like thunder. Like you thought a bomb had dropped. And then the guys would never get hurt. Notice that? Because there was so much give in the boards. But the place would go insane. And the outside walls were all glass. And at the one end was the huge theater stage. It used to be a theater, right?
Yeah.
Loved going to Spokane in the Boone Street Barn. And when they were knocking it down to build what I still believe is the best arena in the WHL, the Spokane Arena, because you coached in there too,
yes,
right?
Yes,
I said to Craig West, Westy, my good friend, the voice of the Chiefs at the time, I said, it's it's a real shame they got to knock down the Boone Street Barn. Loved coming here. And he's like, yeah, you come here once a year. I'm going to go take a leak on the parking lot that's the Boone Street Barn. Place is a dump. It just got me thinking.
Yeah.
You don't go there every day.
No, you only know what you know. And you know, I think this looks great. It's different. But can you imagine a downtown arena in Saskatoon where the Toys R Us is in that parking lot right at the end, 2nd Avenue and 1st Avenue? It'd be awesome. You got these new towers downtown with businesses. So 5:30 comes along. It's like, what are we going to do? Well, let's go have a beer and let's go to the game and then we'll go do our thing. Or, you know, if you're out and you're young and you have no idea who the Blades are, but the street's lit up in blue and all the different bars and restaurants down the street are offering $35 for a burger, a beer, and a ticket to the game. And you're like, oh, we'll go there.
But see, that's the thing. So Janelle writes that, and her reasoning for being against a downtown Saskatoon arena is, have you ever tried to park downtown? Are people going to come to games if it's $10 parking on top of tickets? Well, parking at SaskTel Center is no walk in the park as it is. It's no bed of roses, what you have now. And two, look at Moose Jaw. We said the same thing about Mosaic Place. No parking downtown. Well, guess what? People come early. There's all kinds of restaurants and stuff downtown. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
So park all over downtown and enjoy downtown. It'll revitalize Saskatoon's downtown. So, anyways, we'll break. Everybody's telling me that I'm being too rude to Clark. We'll be back. Thanks, Clark, for being patient. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Thursday morning. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Canada's only live morning sports talk show, despite what Gary Lawless says. And if you missed it, Gary Lawless was with us from the Golden Knights road trip in Ottawa. He really laid out the reasons behind the shocking firing of Gerard Gallant yesterday by the Vegas Golden Knights. And we'll continue to kick that around as we talk hockey here this morning. We got all kinds of topics on the table, as I like to call this your Facebook version of Coffee Row. The SJHL is watching, and they've written in and said, we're happy to have people like you raising the profile of our league, our players, and our member clubs. It's a strength to ask for help, not a weakness. And I've had some great meetings with the SJHL where they said, can we work together? Can you help us? And I'd like to say that we've made a difference together. What do you got here?
People would say parking's expensive downtown Saskatoon. It's free after 6 o'clock every day. Free.
Boom!
Free. Right? Parkades, I guess, you know, maybe. And, yeah. And Jeff says, you know, who's watching, and good morning, Jeff.
Jeff in Saskatoon.
You know, he talks about...
The Saskatoon Blades.
Park, yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. Parking will be, you know, addressed clearly before the shovel hits the ground. And it is great in Kelowna. It's not quite as busy of a, and big of a downtown as maybe we have in Saskatoon, but it's the same idea. You sit and have your coffee, or you sit at the bars, and the arena's right there. It's awesome.
Make it a night. Oh, yeah. So pause everything. Pump the brakes. Other than to say Paul Figler from the Dub Network, their website, the guy that runs it, he's writing, he says, we need some original 16 in Red Deer. Well, the Great Western boys are watching because they wrote in. Can we get some original 16 in Red Deer? Scott will tell you that it's already there. I think it's in beer stores. It's just not necessarily served in bars yet. But further to all of this, Al Dumba, you were just with Wayne Gretzky. Why has it taken me 45 minutes to get you to tell your stories about hanging out with Wayner?
Well, it was only for about 10, 15 minutes, but it was an honor because I'd never met Wayne. And obviously, to me, it's like would be like meeting Bobby Orr or people like that of that that caliber. But we were in Toronto. Drew Callender came along. I had a good friend of mine that had Leaf tickets for me for 3 games, and he asked if I had any friends, and Drew was able to come. And it's turned out that Brian Burke and Drew won a league championship together in Maine
Mariners.
Portland, Maine.
Maine Mariners.
Yeah, back in the 70s. So that was, Brian's only year of pro hockey, and him and Drew are very close. And I met Brian here several times. He was out for a sports supper. He was out for Drew's wedding and things like that. So Drew contacted him, and he hung out with us quite a bit. So he brought us into practice, and it was awesome. We're sitting up in the stands and talking with Brian and discussing whatever, everything from life to hockey. And a few guys came up, Bob Nicholson. We said hello. We'd met Bob.
I just want to hear about Gretzky. Wayne, what did Gretzky have to say? Tell me.
He just came up, and he was just, how you doing, Brian? He turns to us, and Brian said, have you met these guys before? We said, no. And he just sat down and chatted with us about life and about hockey and told some hockey stories. Not hockey stories. Just discussed things, talked about Peter DeBoer, talked about how great a coach he was, and he figured he'll be getting a job soon, well, sooner than he realized probably, and talked about him being a good candidate also for Seattle because how good a coach he was. So there, it just shows you the respect that Peter had amongst NHL teams and people. So, but then we just talked. Well, he talked a little bit. He actually mentioned stuff about changes in NHL in the future. What kind of changes they may shorten the season by league games and have extra teams in the playoffs. And and to me that sounded great because when does everybody watch NHL hockey playoffs? I mean, you watch more and more in the playoffs. So they're looking at maybe expanding the playoffs by a couple of weeks or a week or two, and maybe
more teams.
More teams in and everything. I mean, there's so many teams right now, and there's so much equality that it kind of makes a little bit of sense. That's all just stuff they were chatting about. That doesn't mean it's happening, but it's stuff, that conversation that's come up. So those are kind of interesting facts or things to hear about what has been going on. And Wayne stood up after a few minutes, said, I got to go talk to the TSN boys. Shook our hands, said, nice meeting us. It was awesome. So it was a real pleasurable opportunity.
Were you surprised at how tall he is?
Yeah.
Or did you think he was tall? I was surprised at how big he was.
I guess.
When he played, he skated so hunched over. He didn't seem big.
We were on the in the stands and on the steps, so it was kind of maybe I really wasn't standing beside him the whole time, but it was great, And then his brother Keith was there and talked to Keith because Keith was Bob McCammon's assistant coach in Tri-Cities when I was coaching the Pats.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, Bob McCammon. And Bob McCammon coached Vancouver when Brian Burke was a GM there for a while. They worked, or maybe not exactly GM at that time, but they worked together in Vancouver. Everybody there seemed to be connected in some way. Drew Callender played for Bob McCammon. I got to know Bob pretty well. He coached against me a couple of years. So it was kind of interesting. The
good
conversation.
For you.
It was great. It was like I really, really enjoyed it. We spent 6 days in Toronto. I got to see 3 Leaf games. I have a friend that owns Domino's Canada, So he's not short on change, but he definitely treated us all like kings. He was
a stick boy when you were in Dayton, right?
No, he wasn't a stick boy, but he was a pizza delivery boy at 16 years old, my first year of pro hockey, and I was just 20. So
you're making fun of him at 16 when he's delivering pizzas, and now look at him.
I think the reason he remembered me is, for some reason, being a farm boy, we treat everybody the same. He came in the dressing room, and he was Larry Belanchuk, my teammate from Winnipeg, his neighbor and part-time babysitter for his kids. And he'd come in the room, and I guess we treated him well, and he remembered me, and he stayed in contact over the years. So it's pretty good contact to have. Took us out to High Steakhouse.
His son, Jared, told this story last week, Darren.
Oh, okay. Sorry if I'm repeating.
No. But Darren's acting so surprised. Darren.
No. Were we just talking about this morning?
Which part?
All the years of treating people well and doing that, you never know when it's coming back around, right?
You're so right. You know, plus he always just gives us about 20 free Domino's large pizza coupons to go home with.
I like Domino's too.
And we love Domino's, so he treated us.
But it's no Ballers T-Rex pizza. Ooh. I'll say that.
And we had the one day we had, though, the best day of all was a good friend of mine, Dave Norris, who worked for CHL Services for years. We were line mates in Fort Wayne. He took us out to his bar, 35 people sitting in this bar, big screens all around, watched the World Junior game. Brian Burke came and joined us. We sat there all afternoon, and he brought us free food, and we had a couple pints, and the comeback was phenomenal, so it made the day perfect. But
awesome.
What a lot of fun we had. The girls got together. They're all very close friends. We had four friends there, including Drew and Brenda, and all the wives know each other well, so it was just a blast. What a good time in Toronto.
Got a message coming in on the Facebook wall. Norway calling. It's Trent Bruner in Norway. Love the rants today. You better take that off the screen, man. It's taking up the whole thing. I'll just read it. Those who complain about attendance at a sports event need to put their money where their mouth is. I try to attend these events when I'm home in Saskatchewan, which is not as often as I would like. This is why this show is as valuable as it is for guys like me to know what's up at home. Go Saskatchewan. That from Trent. Well, in the time we have left in this hour and coming up next hour, Bryn Griffiths joins us from Edmonton. Mighty Mouth, legendary Edmonton sportscaster, and Phil the Thrill Andrews, the voice of the Pats from Portland, will be with us. Al, you're a money guy at Investors Group. Mike Abomeshrick's a money guy. He was in here yesterday. We're talking about the money in sports and just how beyond ridiculous that it is. Josh Donaldson signed a deal. What's he making, $28 million a year with the Twins? Just sick, stupid money. Well, it's coming out of the fans' pockets. So the junior hockey argument, and for that matter, university hockey, is a different argument. The tickets are cheap. It's not. That's why attendance is down there is a different issue than why it might be down in the NFL, why it might be down in Major League Baseball. And even they're saying NHL, even the Oilers games have not sold out this year. This is the first year the Jets haven't sold out since they returned from Atlanta. So I'm just thinking, guys, once the fans have finally had enough and said enough's enough, that's when things will change. But will it even change?
How can it? I don't know. I was in Toronto, and I'm going back to that again, and speaking with Brian Burke there. Toronto Maple Leafs make $2.4 million every game just from gate receipts only. That doesn't include TV rights.
I remember when it was half a million.
Yeah, it doesn't include anything. Any other amenities? I'm sure they have the whole building for all the beer sales and everything. They would own everything, I'm sure. So I can't imagine how much they would bring in per game. $2.4 million covers way more. So when you look at teams in the U.S., baseball teams, big TV rights, all that, I can see where the numbers get larger and larger, and where's the end to it? I'm not sure. I guess it's going to depend on all the advertisements and TV rights keep going up, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy. The comparison with hockey and football and basketball and all of them, I mean, roster sizes are different too, right? I mean, when you got to have 50-some guys on an NFL roster, you're not getting $28 million players in a season. When you have, 23 guys on a hockey roster plus guys that you got to pay in the American Hockey League, it's not the same as, baseball roster's a little smaller, and basketball is even smaller than that when you have, 15 guys.
12.
12 guys, right? On a basketball roster, there's more money to go around for the same amount of people in the building.
Well, I'm just watching it all with interest, enjoying what we're doing here, because we're growing too. I mean, growth's fine, right? But at what cost? And there's where it's going with sports. The Leafs are a great example. The Dallas Cowboys are another. And I'll just stop there. But it's the model is to make money whether you win or not. That's the model. And it started in the 90s. And you remember Richard Petty, not the race car driver, but the former president of MLSC, when the Raptors and the Leafs and they all came in together, built Air Canada Center. He came and spoke at a U of R breakfast here. Were you there, Al, a few years ago? I was the MC.
I missed it, that one.
And good guy. He had written a book called Dream Job because he had his dream job. He was a Southern Ontario guy, played basketball, I believe it was the University of Toledo, ended up being the president of MLSC. And he's in front of 600 people at the U of R president's breakfast. May I say, bragging or boasting, that he quintupled the worth of the Leafs when he became president. And I turned to him and I said, yeah, and what'd you win? He didn't like that. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, when the Raptors won the NBA championship last year, I believe he was on the floor. He was one of the first guys. Because he was more a basketball guy than a hockey guy. But the point is this. What are we in this for? You presidents and owners, to make money or to win? What is it? Because it's kind of changed. It's to survive. That's how sports has changed. And again, it's on the fans. When the fans say enough, enough, I'm not paying these ticket prices, that's when it'll change. But we're nowhere near close. I think it's sliding that way, but the story is still yet to be told. Our next guest is logged in. We'll take a break and be back with hour two. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.